Food.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic. Here to help you feel your absolute best. With over 17 years of beauty innovation excellence. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Welcome to Fess Up with me, Liz Dwyer.
And me, Nikki Dwyer.
This is the podcast where we explore everything to do with aesthetics, biohacking, longevity, extreme beauty and the latest trends.
We also interview some really fascinating guests and find out what they're doing as well to keep themselves looking young and feeling great.
And it's all thanks to our sponsor, Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
So for our celeb watch this week, we need to talk about Lady Gaga. Have you seen her recently?
Yeah, she looks incredible.
Absolutely incredible. I would like to say a little caveat though. Do you not think she has maybe gone into the, you know, homogenous
LA look?
Well, she's like the, you know, blonde with the big eyes and the skinny nose and the big lips and the snatched jaw, and everybody's looking very homogenous and very samey, as opposed to like the beauty of her maybe was in her, like the fact that she owned her, like she had the big nose and the, you know, she looks, you know, she was beautiful. She was always beautiful.
Oh, I'm gonna say something controversial. She wasn't. I don't think she was beautiful. She was unusual. She was unique. And I suppose beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I remember interviewing her back in 2011 when she was fronting the MAC Viva Glam campaign in London. And I wouldn't say she was beautiful. She was different, and she like had like buckets of charisma. Tiny. I couldn't get over her accent. It was like so American. She had a bit of a, she had a serious like, I am a superstar attitude, which obviously she was and she is. But I definitely think she's more, I suppose, traditionally beautiful now. She's more balanced looking now. Like if you look at her face then and now, her nose is, she's definitely had a couple of rhinos, I'd say a few rhino revisions. She's had a bit of chin balancing. Her teeth are done. Her brows look higher.
I think she's had her hairline shortened.
Her hairline possibly shortened. Yeah. I mean, everyone thinks, oh, she's just had a bit of filler and so forth. And you're like, lads, there's way more than filler going on here.
I definitely had some kind of a chin
implant maybe. Yeah.
Or maybe it's just filler, but I mean.
Yeah. Night and day.
Profile is completely different.
I'd say diehard fans are not too happy with her transformation. I'd say, as you said, they liked her when she was original. But look, again, each to their own. Like you're saying she looks homogenous, but like people probably think we look homogenous.
I think she looks beautiful, but I thought she looked beautiful beforehand as well. And like what the thing I dislike about this industry is that homogeny. Is that a word? That like this, you know, samey look. And I mean, it's probably like, I love when people try to preserve themselves and not alter themselves.
Yes, but that's just you. Like, look, think about,
that's just my
remember,
opinion,
remember when you were a teenager and everyone wore the same skirt. You had to have the same t-shirt.
Oh, so
you
like,
wore.
That's funny.
Exactly.
That's why I have no fucking eyebrows. Thanks, Gwen.
Yeah, but everyone did the same thing because you kind of want to look like the beauty of the ideal time. Of the time.
Like everyone wore pointy bras when Marilyn was. Yeah.
Exactly, and like Diana, everyone chopped off their hair in her era. So it's just what's going on in that era that people generally migrate to. And at the moment, like it's funny. I was looking at Lana Del Rey on Instagram the other day going, she was one of the early nose jobs, I would say back in, God, 15 years ago or something. I remember Karl Lagerfeld being really mean about her. And apparently her nose is the most number one asked after nose in surgeries.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And people going, I want the Lana nose. And I'm like, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
Wow.
You know, I want the Lana nose.
This is the whole problem with this industry, is people picking things, but like it doesn't necessarily suit their face or whatever. And that's the homogeny again. It's like, I want to look like Brandy, the housewife.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Do you know what I mean? But anyhow, I mean, bitching aside, she looks amazing. And I have to say, like, I mean, really good work done well.
Exactly. Right, we're going to move on to a new feature, which we have called Overrated or Underrated. And we have put a load of topics into an eight ball in the studio, which is here. And we're going to shake it every week. If you want to add to the topics. And we're going to discuss whether we think they are overrated or underrated.
I think we should call it the rate ball.
The rate ball.
The rate ball. Here we go.
Okay.
Right, here we go.
What topic have we got?
We are doing, let me see if I can pronounce this correctly, buccal fat removal.
Is it overrated or underrated? I think it is overrated.
I think it's a very, very specific procedure.
So everyone's not mad about it. So just to back up, buccal fat removal is when a surgeon, ideally a surgeon, takes a fat pad from inside of your mouth out, in which is essentially like at your cheekbones. So if you've got big chipmunk-type cheekbones or a very full face, they can take the fat out and it gives the appearance of having really snatched sculpted cheekbones.
Yeah. Chrissy Teigen was quite open about it. Fair play to her.
She was, but again, perfect candidate for it because she had that, like, you know, full face, chipmunk face.
Yeah.
And it gives those high cheekbones. But there's people who already have cheekbones or skinny faces getting it done and they're absolutely ridiculous and then they look stupid. And here,
also,
here's a prime example.
Yeah.
Demi Moore got it done. Do you remember? Do you remember about 2 years ago she turned up on some runway and she looked like...
I think that was just mad makeup.
No, no, she'd had like a...
How do you know? Now, were you chatting to Demi now?
I was. Me and Demi had a chat, and
she told you
she had a buccal fat removal that went wrong. They took too much out, and that's why she looked fucking ridiculous.
And then she went back in time.
Now she looks to a proper surgeon, spent 250 grand to the best face of all time, and now she looks like a big riot. So I think it's a totally overrated thing. People are going mad for buccal fat removal.
I think it depends, to be honest. Okay, so I mean, a lot of people speculating that Margot Robbie has it now as well. However, I think the problem with buccal fat removal, and it seems like an obvious and a really easy surgery for many people to have, is removing fat from your face is generally a bad idea, because when you get older, unless you've absolutely loads of it and it's seated and positioned in a certain way and you have a lovely square jaw to balance it out as well, you're going to need that fat. Like most of us are putting fat back into our faces as much as we possibly can, whether it's with filler or now everyone's doing fat transfers. Most people, if they get a facelift now, are getting a fat transfer with it as well, because you want the fat in your face, because youthful faces are pudgy.
Yes, want the fat in the place that you want the fat.
Yes.
You don't want the fat. So I get it from somebody who's fuller faced than you. I totally get why you would get it done. And in the right candidate, I think it is a wonderful treatment. However,
I'd say only one out of a million people are the right candidates, though.
A very small, tiny, tiny percentage of people are the right candidates. And that's why I think it is an overrated treatment for this over-under treatment. Our guest this week is the brain hacker, Keith Barry. Some of you will know him as a magician. Some of you will know him as a TV star. Some of you will know him as a hypnotist. I suppose he's all of those things.
He wears many hats.
Many, many hats. He's actually had a really fascinating career.
Yeah.
So did you know, like, we're going to get into it now, but he started out his career as like a biochemist or a cosmetic scientist.
He invented E45, or maybe he didn't. We'll find out in a minute.
Liz claims he invented E45. We're going to find out. I don't know.
Keith, welcome to the Fessel Pot Seat. Are you nervous? Did we make you nervous?
Not particularly nervous. Yeah. I mean, maybe I will get nervous. No, you don't make me nervous at all. I kind of like the energy.
Okay. First question. Do you think you could brainwash us into thinking that we look 12, are a size 0 and will never need to go near a needle again?
But isn't that what you're all about?
Yeah.
I mean, aren't you hacking your way there?
Yeah.
You're doing well.
I'm actually 75.
So, I mean, people are probably like, why is Keith Barry on this podcast? But actually, a lot of what you do is, ironically, a lot of what we do, because I suppose aesthetics and longevity and biohacking and everything, it all kind of feeds into the same concept of what you do, which is brain hacking and also kind of tricking your body, I suppose, into not necessarily tricking, but reprogramming your body into being its younger self, its younger cells and so forth. And you have been, you know, preaching to the choir about this for a very long time, right?
Well, yeah, but if we even take a step back further, I'm actually a cosmetic scientist by trade.
Oh my God, this is my number one question.
That's why your listeners might be interested in.
You invented E45, right? Did you invent E45 or is that a rumour?
No, I didn't invent E45. We spoke about E45.
Yes.
We can go back there.
Liz yesterday was like, Keith Barry is the inventor of E45. And I was like, I'm pretty sure he's not,
Not. I wish I had. But yeah, I suppose that's what your listeners might be interested in to start with, is like, I have a cosmetic background.
Yes.
So I went to college in Galway, 94 to 98. And actually, I don't really talk about this much. It seems a bit facetious, but like, because it's your podcast, I don't mind.
Facetious listeners.
Because I just don't, like, it sounds really weird. But anyway, I'll say it anyway. So in 1998, in Galway, I actually got the top ever honours chemistry degree that had ever been given out at that time, to the extent that they'd sent me a a plaque mm-hmm. with a check in it for £50. No. I broke open the plaque and I took out the £50, the check, and I cashed it.
Yeah.
And I spent it on beer, of course. But the reason I mentioned that is I was signed up for a PhD.
Okay.
I was supposed to do a PhD. And then I went to Professor Splann in Galway, and I just said to him, listen, I'm not going to do the PhD. And he was horrified because I was like the top student or whatever. And he was horrified. And I said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I think I'm going to be a magician. And he was like, what? He's like, that's going to be a waste of your life. Like, he was a lovely guy, but he
disgusted at your disgusted. Academic.
Yeah. So then anyway, I bounced out of there and went from Galway down here to Dublin, applied for a bunch of jobs and got one in Oriflame, which is a Swedish cosmetics company.
Yes.
So I used to invent makeup and all kinds of different makeups.
Go on.
I had my own biphasic eye makeup remover I had developed up. I developed a full men's range, creams and emulsions and all the rest of it.
Way before your time.
Yeah, and then when I was 23, I was going up through the ranks quite quickly. When I was 23, I was responsible for full-scale production of certain creams and emulsions in Poland.
No.
So I used to fly to Poland on my own at 23.
Yeah.
And here's the bit. You'll know this to some extent, but maybe your listeners don't know, right? I was the guy in a white lab coat,
with
a little hairnet, and I was standing in Poland, in Warsaw, with a little pipette.
Yes.
And I was dropping like literally 4 drops of aloe vera into maybe a 10-ton batch of cream just so marketing could legally get the claim on the front label.
There's aloe vera in
But not just aloe vera in it, like aloe vera
anti-aging,
and like giving the full claim, because all of those... all of those extracts, they're really expensive. So they want to put as little in as possible and get the claim. So I suppose that's the first thing. You have to watch out for that in your world and make sure that, if you're going to take supplements, creams, emulsions, like you would perhaps with food, look at the label, see how much of the stuff is in there,
But you need to be a cosmetic chemist to understand the labels.
It's
and
hard.
Also, the labeling is complete arse about face, because they don't say how much percentage of stuff is in there, so you have no idea.
Vitamin C, retinol.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that's where it's hard. So I suppose, in my day, you'd have to delve in there. But now in the more modern world that we're in, I suppose in your world, Google and YouTube is your friend if you find trusted people who are breaking down the ingredients, though.
Yeah. The thing is the trusted people. And so it's kind of the premise of our whole business, right? So we're the end users.
Yeah.
We're the ones who are putting all this shit in our face and, and then wondering why my creme de la mer hasn't made me look 100 years younger, and bathed in the stuff. And I'm also bathing in this stuff that's going to make my hair grow, and this other stuff that's going to make my eyelashes grow. None of them fucking work. And I think that's where...
Isn't it mad though? None of them work.
But that's why we are.
So that's why you mentioned E45, because even though I'm a cosmetic scientist and I was heavily in that world.
What is in E45 first? What's in E45?
Petroleum. So it's just a general base cream. So it's petroleum and vitamin E, but it's a reasonably high level of vitamin E, and ultimately it's just a really good emollient. So the reason you mentioned it is because when we met first, I think you said, what do you do for your skin? You've got good skin. And actually every makeup artist that I've met says, geez, you've got really good skin. What do you do? And the only thing I do is I put on E45 in the morning and E45 at night. That's my beauty routine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Right.
So we can end the podcast there, because I have no other tip.
I know. I don't believe you at all.
But can I ask about creams, just while we're on the topic of creams and lotions and potions? Mm. And do you think, I'm sure you were made to do studies, right? So as you said, marketing could use. Did you fabricate those studies, or were they, kind of tweaked?
Interestingly, there wasn't too many studies.
Yeah.
Here's what we would have to do. I mean, look, I'm leaving you in on the inside secret now.
Yeah.
Of Oriflame back then, maybe not now. Just disclaimer.
Yes.
Back then, there was many times I was told, here's an Oriflame credit card, go into Brown Thomas, buy a bunch of the creams and emulsions and make it cheaper.
Yes.
So we were told to copy the formulation, is what we were told to do. Now, we were given leeway, of course, to kind of tweak it ourselves and make it unique and original. But here's the interesting thing. Back then, I don't know what they do now, but back then there wasn't that many papers we had to do.
Okay.
The real testing in the lab was, it was me, there was a team, we were all quite young, there was about 8 of us, I'm going to guess. And ultimately, there's no animal testing, at least for Oriflame, there's no animal testing, which is great, of course. But then you wonder, how do you test this?
Yeah.
I got to find out the hard way. So I would put on like mascara.
Yes.
And I would take my own biphasic eye makeup remover and I'd shake it up. Yeah. And I'd just wipe my mascara off and see, like, I have a rash. Did it sting? How does it
smell? Were you blinded?
So you were your own guinea pig.
You're writing your own papers
on
the testing that you were doing in the lab.
Yeah.
And then you would, but back to your question, I suppose. The real proper tests are then you would take that cream or emulsion, whatever it is, you put it into a heater and see how quick it takes to separate and stuff. So, for example, if that cream or emulsion is in Spain or Brazil, like Oriflame in particular, they would sell a lot in South America. So in hot climates. So you want to make sure that once it gets there, it just doesn't separate out straight away. I'm not talking about a biphasic eye makeup remover. That's already separated, of course. But I'm just talking about a general base or emulsion or cream. So you would test it. You'd have it in the oven for a couple of weeks or whatever.
In the oven? You're not testing on you're not testing on skin samples.
No, it's you do skin patch tests as well on yourself.
On yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
That is not on fake.
Horrifying.
No, but that may have changed now. Yeah. I don't know. But back then, I'm talking about, so I was 21, so it's 26 years ago.
Ah, yes, definitely changed.
You know, so you say that, but has it?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe they still test on themselves. I
always laugh because they always say, oh, 98% of the clinical test group reported, you know, a marked effect in their thing. And then you kind of do a little deep dive. And it's like this test group is 21-year-old, 21-year-olds, you know what I mean? And they're all, obviously, they're going to have lovely skin. Everything is going to be lovely response, you know. And the groups are very small, like on these so-called studies, you know. But then, obviously, the marketing goes to town and going, 88% women marked notice improvement, you know.
Yeah, well, I just don't know how you can prove or disprove that stuff. And that's the real issue, isn't it? But, I mean, we're in a world of, more than ever, snake oil salesmen and saleswomen and salespeople. So you're trying to decipher the truth with all this stuff. It's difficult. And, you know, there's benefits to a lot of it, but there's a lot of it out there that, as you mentioned earlier, it just doesn't work. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it works to an extent, but I think that's... So I feel really guilty, I have to say. For many years, I was a beauty editor. I'm like, just kind of... I had no choice. I had to, like, say, oh, this cream is amazing. This cream is fantastic. This eye cream will change your life. Like, it did nothing, do you know? But I was part of the problem. I was propagating this kind of concept that, like, this cream or this lotion or no, you know, was going to, you know, reverse your skin 10 years. It's never going to happen.
Speaking of propagating the problem, the myth. Do you think that biohacking or brain hacking is, like, I mean, happening on a large scale for people like us, for women like us, particularly women like men as well, but for women like us, into thinking that we, you know, it's gone on since the start of time that we need to look younger, hotter, skinnier, thinner, bigger boobed, whatever the thing is at the time. But do you think it's a form, particularly now with these huge marketing budgets, and it's brain hacking?
Oh, it is. And it's only going to get worse with AI, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to use AI against, dare I say it, against you, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, they are, right? That's just the natural progression. And, you know, neuromarketing is real. So they've hired neuroscientists. They've hired, you know, people like me to advise them. How can we hack brains? How can we get inside their brains, make them believe that this is going to make them exactly what you said, younger and more beautiful and so on. And, you know, I find it fascinating. So, like, you know, my job is to study people. I'm really a student of human behavior. That's what I do, like, you know. And I think it's quite scary. I mean, look, I think it's one thing for adults. And I suppose, what is an adult? Like, if we just say over the age of maybe 20, right? So one thing for adults over the age of 20 who might already have their personality developed and want to make a conscious choice to improve their aesthetics. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Look, I go to the gym. Like, that's part of my routine. And I put on my E45, you know, and I do certain things. But, like, ultimately, I think that the big worry is, you know, the younger generation because they're not fully developed. Their personalities aren't there. And yet, like, even some people, like, because, you know, on TikTok and stuff, I have a younger kind of audience. I'm seeing, like, these young influencers and they're getting their, you know, breast augmentation at the age of, like, 18, 19. Yeah. And do they really need it? Probably not. Is it helping improve their confidence? Here's the thing. It seems to, but it's not.
No.
I can tell these children are actually, and I say children because I'm 47, right? So I feel like they're kids. But, like, ultimately, I look at it and go, they're still very broken.
Yeah.
And they're only going to get more broken by doing that. So it's really complex, I think. You know, I talk to my wife about this all the time. Like, she doesn't do anything except what would probably in your world be the basics, right?
Or is that the truth?
No, because I'm easy going. I'd be like, She tell me. No, no.
Listen,
she...
my husband thinks I'm natural as well. I mean, there's not a fucking inch of me that's natural actually.
No, but like, no, but she really is. She says to me, why are all these, like, she's really, she'd be interested in having the podcast. She's like, why are all these women getting Botox?
And I'm, but
like,
I bet she dyes her hair and she goes.
Oh, she dyes her hair. Yeah,
yeah. And she goes. See, she.
And she has her creams and emulsions and whatever.
Stuff. Dentistry.
Dentistry.
Hair laser treatment.
Yeah, but she's terrible teeth, so yeah.
She's probably had some laser treatment, bit of peels here and there,
no,
you know.
I don't think so. I don't that kind of stuff done.
And have you done nothing at all? Like, nothing? Would you do anything?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm very open-minded to what I'll be. See, like, yeah, like, so the real version of me, right, besides what I do, and I love what I do, so that is a real portion of me, of course.
Yeah.
But the real version of me just wants to run out the door and go fishing.
Yeah.
Right, so yesterday I spent the whole day fishing. Like, I've got the worst nails and hands of any mentalist or magician I know. That's because they're ripped to pieces from hooks and gutting fish and filleting fish.
So you're a country boy at heart.
Yeah, but I am a culty. So, like, I was born in the country in Waterford. Yeah. So for me, though, like, it's more about the like, when you mentioned it earlier on, it's more about the biohacking mixed with brain hacking. That's where my interest really lies. So I do examine all of the different supplements that are out there and have a look at them all. And sometimes I decide to, like, you know, really the only way to test on yourself, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So
are you on any supplements? Are you taking
supplements? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I take
supplements. Are you on the NAD?
So it's so interesting that they tried to get me to inject that NAD in, but I was like, I need to investigate this first.
Oh, yeah.
So actually, interestingly though, I took the NAD orally,
yeah,
even though I haven't I still haven't investigated it properly, but I thought, you know what, I had a quick look and it was safe anyway, so I took it. I didn't see any immediate effects from it.
You seemed very high energy anyway.
That's my problem. Yeah. Like, I went to the doctor recently just to get the full kind of
MOT,
body check done,
yeah,
you know. And I said to him, well, at 47, I mean, should I get my testosterone checked? And he looked at me and said, you definitely don't need your testosterone checked. I was like, what? He's like, no, don't get your... I was like, but I want to know.
Give us the TRT. I want to be lifting more weights.
Yeah, 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 exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, maybe it's just slightly under.
Yeah.
Maybe. So,
weightlifter, Keith Barry.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, look, there's no problems there. But, like, ultimately, I supplement. So I take creatine.
Yeah.
Creatine, if you look into it, creatine monohydrate, none of the BS, like none of the extra stuff with it, just pure creatine monohydrate. I take that every day or every other day, and it's one of the most researched supplements out there. Anybody wants to, it was into strength, which we should all be into strength. Aesthetics, brilliant. If you're into it, great.
Mm-hmm.
I, again, I have nothing against it. I just have a problem with the younger generation. I think older generation, whatever you want to do, go for it. But I think first and foremost, we've got to look like, you know, how's our strength going to be? Because longevity studies have shown, like, any kind of even just small amount of resistance training is going to prolong your life, and especially with, you know, osteoarthritis and all that kind of stuff, so or osteoporosis. And ultimately, anyway, I take creatine. I took NAD Plus for about a month, stopped taking it because I just didn't see any huge benefits from it. But my standard is creatine, cod liver oil. They're my two real go-tos. And then I kind of switch in and out sometimes to kind of play with things. So just the other day, I bought some branched-chain amino acids. And the reason I take those is they're good for the absorption of the creatine in the body. And apparently, I have to look this up again. I remember a long time ago that they're one of the very few amino acids. It's hard to get them through diet.
Nearly impossible. And they decline naturally as we age.
Yes, you know more about
everything that. Everything declines as we age.
Yes, but particularly BCC.
But don't you think, everybody keeps telling us that we're old. Like, so I've said it before, I'm 47. So what age are you?
45.
And you?
You're not 45. Excuse me, I am 45.
I've just opened up a can of worms.
46 on Friday.
I'm 46 on Friday.
There we go. Yeah.
I'm holding on for dear life.
And I'm 43. So yeah, do I feel old?
No, do you know what I mean? Do you not think that the perception now is that people in their 40s, they were old? Like,
no,
I think old.
I think it's the opposite. Like, I think the perception of people in their 40s is that, you know, we're kind of... Well, I don't know. Maybe that's just how I feel. I don't feel old at all.
Mm.
But I'll ask my 83-year-old father how he feels.
There we go.
He's hilarious. He thinks he's Hugh Hefner. He thinks he's 25. And the other day he was like, "Oh, you're a friend now, single. Oh yeah, sure. She's good looking."
No.
I'm like, looking at him, going, "Dad, you're 83 years of age," and he has no concept that this girl or woman is 40 years younger than him. So his perception of age is completely skewed as well.
Yeah, just but
or is it right? Maybe.
Well, I think look, everybody's trying to sell something, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, I think the earlier they can make us think that we're old, the earlier they can sell.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know what I mean?
Is, yeah.
Like, here's a question. Like, and forgive me because I'm on your podcast, but I think just have a different spin on it.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel the pressure to keep up?
Yes, 100%.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
and does that bother you?
Do you know? Some days I'm like, when I wake up feeling old and tired,
yeah,
I do feel old. Well, I'm like, I couldn't be arsed the shit. Like, I'm like, do I have to go? Like, you just got your roots done, then you got your eyebrows, and you got your Botox, and you have to get your freaking something else done. You were going away on holidays a few weeks ago, and it was like you were getting married. The nonsense you were going through, and then, it's surgery, right? She spent like the whole week getting ready to go. Holidays, the hair, the makeup, the tan, the Botox, the non-stop.
First night on holidays, I got bitten by something. I don't know what, but my whole face, I had full anaphylactic.
Oh, really?
I couldn't see it.
So
in my eye.
Disaster.
She looked like the elephant man. Yeah. But anyway, but the point is that there is a lot of pressure to keep up. Yeah, for sure. And some days I'd be like, I would just like to just not bother with anybody. But then I'm so frightened of what would happen if I dropped all the balls. I'd say I'd look like I don't know, something out of Game of Thrones or something.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'd say I would.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
You just kind of stay the way you are. You wouldn't, you know.
Look hacked.
Come here, what other supplements have you been taking?
Well, I have to say, I am mad for the NAD.
But you inject it, don't you?
Yeah, so I went to a conference, scientific conference in London, and I love the nerdy side of this too. So I like...
Well, this is it. So, okay, let's get into the nerdy side because I'm interested, right?
So
tell me about this NAD Plus, and your listeners are probably really interested as well. What is it? What does it do?
So it's a derivative of vitamin B3.
Okay.
So it's a coenzyme. So it's not the enzyme, it's a coenzyme.
Yeah.
And basically every single cell in our body needs NAD Plus in order to regenerate itself.
Yeah.
That's the uncomplicated version of it. As we reach around 35, 38, we don't produce any more NAD naturally. And it starts to decline, which actually coincides with our, you know, biological age declining.
Well, yeah.
So in order for us to, I suppose, biohack ourselves, we need to start producing NAD Plus and another coenzyme called NMN.
And the two of them,
it's a precursor. Okay. So NMN happens first and then NAD, and our cells start to regenerate. And so the fascinating thing about this is they're starting to do really interesting studies about the use of NAD Plus in, I call it smart aging or longevity science, but also in disease. And they've done one study which is fascinating, where they've reversed a menopausal woman to back to the stage where she's having periods again.
What, just with NAD?
Wild. Now, like, I mean, this is one study on one person
with NAD.
On NAD, yeah. So
I mean, she was not on nothing else, like estrogen, HRT, something.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, like, and so they're saying like that they can essentially reverse aging using NAD. Now, I think it's a massive claim.
It's not even legal, actually, in a lot of countries because technically, is it a pharma?
Because it's actually considered to be
food. It's not a food supplement, is it?
No, it is, because then all supplements go under food. So it's like, that's why there's no...
But this is the big thing I wonder about is like, why is it not more well known? Why is it? Why are we not...
Well, I'll tell you why, because you have to inject it.
You don't have to inject it.
Well, you do.
Well, I orally took it.
So apparently...
But I didn't feel the benefits.
Apparently, orally, you can't absorb it.
Right,
so again, this is
well. There's an argument that says you can, and that injecting it's a waste of time.
Well, all I know is from my own research is my own. So I've been using it for a while. You've been using it for a while.
Yeah,
I took it for a while, and then I stopped taking it. And for the 2 or 3 months, so during the time that I was taking it, I was like doing Future Beauty, and I was so I was on the kind of treadmill and going 100 miles an hour. Anyhow,
yeah,
I stopped taking it. Future Beauty coincided at the same time, and in the aftermath, I had definitely had a major crash. It's knackered, exhausted, and I didn't have about 2 or 3 months. I did take an oral NAD Plus, and again, it felt nothing for a while, mostly because it was cheaper. So the oral NAD is about 40 quid. The real injectable stuff is £300.
Yeah, it's expensive. Yeah.
And so now I've bit the bullet, and only yesterday I reordered.
I literally said to you in the car on the way in, I was like, have you any needles? Because I need to get, I got a cold at the moment. And I was,
have you any needles?
I love this. I know. I was run out of the needles. I was like, I need some needles. She was like, just go in and get some.
But it's like in LA, right? I did this TV show a couple of years ago. It was called You're Back in the Room in the UK.
Yeah.
But when I did it in LA, it was called Hypnotize Me.
Yeah.
And they had a I was the hypnotist on it, and then they had a host called Taye Diggs.
Yeah.
So Taye's this big kind of Hollywood actor,
yeah,
mainly a Broadway actor, but very well known. Like he'd be an A-lister, and he had the whole crew with him, and he turned up on set every day with the whole crew. But every day, like, he would be late for set because he'd have to go out and get his vitamin B shots.
Yeah.
That shot, and he was all shot up.
Yeah.
But then the funny thing is, like, he'd come to me and tell me how tired he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on with you, man? Like, you have all these shots going on. Like, he's so tired.
Just wrecked. Like,
you know what I mean? So I always wonder, like, see.
But you're into this stuff, though.
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm intrigued. Like, I'm intrigued by the NAD Plus and something that
have
I...
Have you ever had your biological age tested?
No.
You should.
Well, okay, let's talk about this. Now, yeah. Now I'm fascinated by this. I nearly got it done recently.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I'm fascinated. I know we can get it done. There's an issue, though.
Mm.
So here's the issue. I was in Miami recently, because most of my work, truth be told, is outside of Ireland now. And I was in Miami not that long ago, like last month. And you know Gary Brecka?
Yeah, yeah.
So Gary Brecka is like 10x longevity expert. He's probably the number one proponent of longevity out there. And, you know, biohacking and all the rest of it. Right, so he's the one that's talking about the methylation test.
Mm.
Get the methylation
What's
test.
What's a methylation test?
So methylation,
it's basically a biological age test, but it's...
It kind of is. Well, it's more to do with to find out genetically what your body can't process and you should be supplementing specifically for that.
Mm, okay.
So not just getting your bloods done and finding out you're deficient in calcium, finding out through a methylation test what your body can't absorb genetically and supplement specifically for that. And according to Gary, if you do that, then you'll see a remarkable difference in your health, right?
Okay.
So he's a proponent of the methylation test.
How do you do a methylation test?
So I think it's a blood test, but ultimately just through your doctor. But again, if you Google these things in Ireland, you can't find anyone who does it, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I was over in the States in Miami, googled Gary Breck because I knew his lab was in Miami. I thought, I'll go there and I'll get it done. I have nothing to do if I was a day off. It's pricey. It's like $700 or something, but fine. I didn't mind. So I looked it up, but then I just said, I'll do a bit of research first. And I looked up the reviews.
Mm.
Now, you have to understand, like, this guy is like...
The number one guy.
The number one guy in TikTok and Instagram.
Biohacker.
Yeah, but he's like, his main claim to fame, I suppose, at least now, is that he reversed Dana White's aging, right? So Dana White, who was the president of the UFC, right? He came out and said, Gary Brecka saved my life. I lost however many stone I lost. And he does look amazing now. And he says, down to Gary Brecka.
Probably just
do what Gary Brecka said.
Put a few Ozempic pens in him when he's asleep.
But you look at this and go, oh, okay. And then Gary Brecka says,
supplemented him with zinc or some shit.
He says that Dana White, he was taking one form of hormone treatments, probably testosterone, I don't know. But like, besides that, which he was already taking, he didn't change anything else except his protocol. Mm. And he implemented his protocol in and it did all this.
What was his protocol? We don't know.
A lot of it was to do with his diet, breath work, grounding. So all of that stuff.
Yeah. And he lost weight because of this? Or just because he was healthy?
Diet. No, he changed his whole diet as well. Mm. And he gave him the methylation test, told him what he should be supplementing for. But it was a Gary Brecka protocol. But it was a lot of stuff. So it was diet, supplementation. It was everything, right? Breath work, grounding.
Mm.
But anyway, I googled it, googled the reviews on it. Reviews are shocking. They're so bad, it's unbelievable.
Really?
So the reviews of his company, which is 100% his company, are absolutely, like, shocking.
Is it because they're
saying what the tests are, people
aren't like, so folks
mixture,
enough to follow through?
Mixture of people saying, complete waste of time, I learned nothing. A mixture of people saying, I didn't get the results back and I can't contact them now. But a lot of people saying it's just rubbish. Like, the results are just nonsense.
You said, he's selling something. Like, he's, you know, everyone's selling
something. Do you know what I noticed recently? The number one, like, actual person wants, because you mentioned reverse aging. Where do you get that done, by the way?
Oh, there's an amazing clinic in London.
What, the biological test?
Yeah, again, it's not in Ireland. You've got to go to London.
Yeah, there's a
You can do a lot of them online now as well.
But I also go with that kind of stuff. What's the point?
Yeah.
Well, there's one or two clinics who are like teetering into it. And also the ozone therapy is, like, I think we're at the start of the kind of...
Ozone or oxygen therapy?
Or ozone therapy. Oxygen therapy has kind of been around for a while, and we all know.
The hyperbaric chambers are supposed to be amazing for you, but I've never gone into one of you.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah. We actually had one on our first event.
Nuala Moore is one of the most amazing athletes that Ireland has ever had. She's one of these long distance swimmers.
Yeah.
Swimmers.
Yeah.
She's a book out. She's based down in Dingle. And she said the number one thing that she does for her injuries, because she's broken from all that, she said the hyperbaric chambers.
Yeah. A lot of people use them post surgery as well. Like, it's a big thing.
In the Nordic countries, they use them as standard for people undergoing chemotherapy. They use them as standard for anybody who's had surgical treatments. They heal your healing process by about 33%.
I'm going to start doing it. I'm broke up. So that's the one thing. I'm full of injuries.
You had a really serious car injury a number of years ago.
A lot of it's a result of that, and then the stupid things I've done, which is like hanging upside down brains and straight jacks.
You have done crazy shit over the years, haven't you?
Loads of it. Yeah.
So do you love it? You love eat, breathe, and sleep all this.
And I love the biohacking thing. Like, just loop back to it for a second, because I mentioned him and then I didn't mention him. There's a guy, I can't remember his last name, Brian. Brian John. You know the guy.
And he's blood transfusing.
His kid into him.
Yeah. But
here's the thing.
Yeah.
He's on the sell now. Did you notice this?
He's on the sell.
All the supplements. Yeah. He's selling all the supplements.
Yeah. Sorry, the sell.
By the way, I thought
I was like, the sell? Is that a new supplement?
But everybody said, so he looked like he was just out.
Oh, he's selling a protocol now, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. But just the other day, he's detailing all his pills and all the powders, all the brands.
Yes.
And here's where you can
and
get
it was like
them.
Mark Hyman, who I loved for a long time, and now he's on the cell as well.
Same thing. So
he's doing this whole like the methylation test and all the other things. And like, I think there's very few Huberman. Do you listen to Huberman now?
Yeah, I get bored with these people after a while. I like Huberman. Yeah. I like Tim Ferriss. I like Mark Hyman, but again,
Tim Spector.
Yeah, but if you I can't remember about Tim, but I know I looked up Mark Hyman's website and it was just like a million supplements you can buy.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, it all
he didn't
down.
Used to be like that, but he's cashed in.
Look, I mean, at the same time,
I mean, says all of us who are cashing in on what we're doing too. So I mean, we're
speaking of cashing in and on the cell.
Yeah.
Tell us about your tour dates coming up.
Oh yeah, yeah. So mind games. I've just got 7 mind games left.
Yeah.
And they start in September.
What happens in a mind game?
Yeah, I want to know.
Show.
Well, I get inside people's heads.
Okay.
Ramble around, implant thoughts, extract thoughts, influence their behavior. So I'm starting the Gleneagle and the INEC on the 7th of September. Then the TLT and Drogheda. The 21st, and then I'm going to Galway, Castlebar, Wexford, Spiegeltent, and UCH.
Okay.
And they're the only gigs available this year.
Okay. That's we'll put it. All
so,
those up.
So, for example, here's think of something.
Okay.
Obviously, your sisters, right? So, I want you to think of something.
Oh, God.
Like, it's just something that she couldn't possibly know about you.
Oh,
for example, would she know your first kiss, your first romantic kiss?
Like? Yeah, she would.
She would. Okay.
Say.
Well, think of a name.
Robbie Dobbin.
No, it wasn't Robbie Dobbin, no.
Well, then you're wrong. She doesn't know.
She doesn't know, yeah.
Okay. Or you can just think of a name of somebody that she never knew about that you were romantically involved with.
Because probably don't one tell. Of my exes.
We'll go with you then, will we?
No, I was just saying, I was like, imagine. We've never done that. I was thinking that. Come on, anyway, we're completely going off track.
Somebody that she would never know about my romantic involvement.
Very hard. Separate, low, you're,
well, or just think of a word or
Tinder,
a name
when you're Tindering.
Like Tindering.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Just
so
think,
many of them.
just think of a name or a word or a place that's relevant to you, though.
Okay.
That you think that she would never guess. Like just something that I couldn't know, she couldn't know. Just a thought right now.
Okay.
It can be random, by the way. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've got something in mind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just a single word, though, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need evidence of this. So I've got a folded up index card here. It's just got my initials on it. So I'll unfold it. I just want you to write down the word clearly inside the box. You can use a pen or a marker or whatever. Yeah. But
am I allowed to guess it?
No. You can guess it in a moment, but don't let her see. Okay? And you can change your mind, but once you're committed, write it down to the piece of paper and then fold it up to my initials. Write it nice and clear in case we need to show the cameras, because I'm sure there's cameras here everywhere.
There is.
And don't let her see. No peeking you. Okay. And then fold it up so my initials are back on the outside, and then you know that we can't see what you wrote. Okay. Now, you didn't see what you wrote, did you? Oh, no. Use the pen and put your own initials there. Just put your own initials on it, just so I can't pickpocket. And fold it up a couple of more times. That's just for evidence for us. Okay. I'll get rid of the pen. So you hold on to the paper. So you have a guess first. Go ahead.
What she just said?
No. Yeah. What she's thinking
of.
Written
down.
Yeah.
Noosa.
Was that it?
No.
No. Okay, so look at me.
I do love that place.
So this is what I do in mind games. I try and get inside people's heads and ramble around, okay? Now, you could be thinking of anything, and I've got to narrow the window down. So think of whether it's an object, a name, or a place. Object, name, or place. Or something outside of that. Object. This is a place. Thank you. Okay, look at me. Now, inside your head, just imagine that you're in this place. Imagine whether it's inside or outside of Ireland. Do you think she's inside or outside of Ireland in her head? Don't react, by the way, to what she says. But do you think she's inside or outside of Ireland?
I think she might be in Miami. Go on.
Okay, look at me. No, you're wrong. She didn't react to that. Even subconsciously, the carotid artery in her neck just started to pulsate slightly there. So you're inside Ireland in this memory. And look at me. Just focus on it. Say it in your head. Whatever this is, just say it in your head. No, I can't hear it. So switch it up for a moment. In your mind, look at me. Think of the first letter of this place. Just think of the first letter. Or actually, think of the last letter. Think of the last letter. And think of a colour starting with the last letter, if you can. Can you think of a colour? Don't tell us. Just think of a colour. Okay, good. And whatever that colour is, think of the second letter in the colour, the second letter in the spelling of the colour. And if you can, think of an animal starting with that letter. Are you able to do that? Don't tell us. Just think. Yeah. Okay. Did you think of a yellow elephant there?
Oh my God, that is so fucked up.
Yeah. Look at me. So in your head, you're in Galway in your mind. Was that it?
You're in Galway? Yeah.
Galway.
What the fuck?
That is so weird. Okay, is that because my eyes twitch and my arteries move when I'm doing things and you like know outside, inside Ireland?
Yeah, it's kind of like Sherlock Holmes. I'm just trying to...
And also, does Botox screw up your process? Because, I mean, no, and also people's twitches wouldn't work.
It certainly doesn't help.
Yeah, because like if you're so, like you can't read people's things.
But your eyes, the eyes never lie. It was your eyes that give you away.
Why Galway?
Oh, just because I couldn't think anything. I was like...
So you wrote down, sure.
Yeah, Galway.
Galway. I used to live in Galway.
I live in Galway too. So all I
not anymore. Thank God.
So my biggest top tip, don't forget.
E45.
Save your money on the Botox.
Can I just ask one question? Because this is the most interesting question I think of all. How do you do it?
Come to Mind Games and find out.
Come to Mind Games and find out. And on that note, Keith Barry, thank you so much.
Thanks for
your time. Are we getting another free ticket, Liz and I, to the Mind Games? We better.
Of course, which one are you coming to? Wexford Spiegeltent. Do you know the mad thing?
Yes, I will.
All joking aside, Wexford Spiegeltent
is the best.
I'm going to say it is the best venue in the country.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
Is that the same Spiegeltent that used to be in the IFSC?
No, I think it's a different one. So the Wexford Spiegeltent, not that we're going to go off on a tangent here, but the mad thing is, just as a side note, they have this backstage area that surpasses anything in the whole of Ireland. They've got ping pong tables and everything for me, the artist. And every time I go down,
you have the crack.
They have a full bar, fully stocked bar, with a bar man or a bar woman. And I've never even had a pint because I always drive down and back. But this time I'm staying overnight.
We'll come down. I want to party. We'll come down. Yeah, we'll play ping pong with you backstage.
Again, you can hold my wife down and eject her.
We'll be like, come on now. Just get on the boat.
I think we just bullied.
Keith, you take the NAD Plus. You take the Botox. You'll all be grand. Thank you so much.
Thanks for
joining us. And we'll see you in your live tour in Ireland.
Yes, thanks so much.
So we're back with this week's Loose Lips section, answering your questions, voice memos, DMs, whatever it is you want to chat to us about. Ed, what have we got in this week's inbox?
Oh, one hit nervous. Us up. I'm nervous. Here we go. I haven't listened to this, but here we go. Let's have the first one.
Hiya, Liz and Nikki. It's Marie from Dublin here. Absolutely love the podcast. So I've been getting Botox for the past 10 years, but I've been lying to my partner. I've been telling him that I've been getting IPLs. So I'm just wondering, what kind of lies have you told friends or partners over the years about getting stuff done?
Ooh. How long have we got?
Yeah, you know what? I think you're definitely not alone in this.
No.
Like, I have friends who, you know, come home with fabricated invoices from, like, based on all sorts of things, saying that, you know, they're getting, going to their dermatologist for whatever they're getting done. Like, absolute total lies. And they're actually, you know, full-face Botox. I've done a good bit of lying about it over the years myself.
Yeah.
For years when I was getting it done in my early 30s, I didn't tell a single soul for about, maybe the guts of a decade.
You told me.
I couldn't not tell you because you were like...
Probably set it up for you.
Yeah.
Probably frog marched you in.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, like that. You'd be like, I'm getting an IPL. I'm going to see my derm for my skin treatment.
Yeah.
I have rosacea. Yeah, I suppose. I didn't tell my partner about Ozempic for a good while, just because I didn't know whether it was going to work, and I didn't want to, I didn't want to get the lecture about it. But then I eventually did confess up to it.
Fessed up. Jesus, we've told some serious lies in the years.
Oh, yeah. But actually, the most standout lie of all lies has to be, I'd say, going back 25 years. Do you remember, Liz, when you came home from the RDS one day? Liz was doing promotions in the RDS, and she came home 25 years ago with lips that would give, I don't know, Jordan a run for her money. She looked outrageous.
And I tried to tell everybody I'd been on a sunbed and I burnt my lips on a sunbed, which was more plausible at the time than actually getting lip
Nobody
filler.
Had lip filler. Nobody got lip filler. Was 25 years ago.
It was kind of
around. OG lip filler.
I was the OG lip filler person, but it was kind of coming around because, like, I mean, Angelina Jolie was kind of coming out, Baywatch was around, but it wasn't something that was happening in Dublin. But I happened to be offered it for free at the RDS to go up on stage and be a model.
Oh, how it's all come full circle.
Yeah, I know, ironic. And I was like, absolutely, yes, I'm in. Let me up
there.
How old
are you? 20?
19, maybe 20. I can't remember. Around young, anyway. And I remember coming back with the lips. Oh my God. And I remember buying a hair extension hairpiece thing as well. And I had a big, long hair extension ponytail and I marched to the Marbella. The airport to Marbella the next day with my mates, and they were all looking at me going, what's happened? And I was
her
like,
hair has grown 14 feet and her lips have grown 14 inches.
I swear to God, I was like, I burnt them on a sunbed
25 years ago in Ireland, lads, just to give you some context. I mean, Rimmel lip shimmer was
the height of it,
and people were still wearing white musk from the body shop, and maybe if you were wild, you had some stick on, like eyelash extensions.
Yeah, I thought, oh, it was freaking deadly, let me tell you. But then it all went very wrong, very fast.
I remember you came back from Spain from, was it your leaving cert holiday?
No, it was like 20 or something like that. Yeah.
Came back from Spain and I thought you'd been in a fight, a physical fight, because one side of her lip had swelled up so bad that it was blocking her nostril. So from her lip to the top of her nostril was entirely like blown up, totally blown up. And it smelled.
Did it? Was it smelling?
Yeah.
Really?
I remember it so clearly. I can still smell it. It was absolutely disgusting. And you,
I had to tell everyone what happened.
You didn't. You had to tell mum and dad.
Yeah.
And because mum and dad were like, have you got an STD or were you in a fight?
It probably would have been better to have
an
STD.
You tried to do this whole like, oh, my lips got sunburnt and, you know, it's a blister or something. And mum was like, frog marched down to our then GP, who was like, you know, a 70-year-old man who I'd say was prescribing penicillin for anything. Everything was like penicillin. And remember, he wouldn't go near you. He was like, oh, go back to wherever you got it done.
Yeah.
And
but they'd already fled the country, so I had no choice.
And also, he didn't know what was in your mouth.
Yeah, no one knew what to do.
You'd had to confess. You'd fessed up at that stage.
Yes.
And anyway, then did you go to A&E?
I went to A&E. They couldn't do anything about it. They were just basically like, go off and, you know, it'll go down eventually.
No, they did. Didn't they give you steroids and anti-inflammatories or something like that? Anyway, about a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks even later passed, she still looked like she'd had a run in with Mike Tyson. And we decided...
And it got worse every time I drank.
Every time we drank, yeah, it'd blow up. It would blow more up. So we decided, well, we were going to take matters into our own hands. And I got a darning needle. I always remember.
Now, we were about a bottle of vodka in.
A bottle of vodka in and a darning needle. And I lanced it.
You did.
And I squeezed all of the shit out of her lip.
Yeah.
And I remember it hitting the mirror.
We were like the original Dr. Pimpopopper.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. I was so good. And it just kept coming.
And it worked.
Coming and coming. And then eventually it was all out. And that was the end of it.
And that was it. I still have a little scar.
You do still have a scar.
Yeah. Thanks from your surgical operations.
Well, I mean, I had no... I wasn't med school trained, so
you're probably about 16.
I was the original pay for the skill, not the male. So there was no payment involved, so she got no skill. So there you go,
and a little scar. But yeah, that was the original giant lie.
The original lie, yeah, it was lip filler was actually. But didn't you find out later on it was?
Like, it wasn't. It was pig protein. It wasn't even like hyaluronic acid. That was back in the day. Things have moved on. You think it would have been?
And now you're the face of Future Beauty, trying to prevent these kind of tragedies.
Exactly.
So that is one of the many ways which we have lied and covered up for things since 25 years ago.
Exactly.
Okay, next one. Here we go.
Okay. Hi, Nikki and Liz. I love Fess Up. My name is Alex, and I was wondering what your thoughts on jawline filler is and Botox.
Ooh, a boy. Yeah, we have a boy listening. Yay. Hi, Alex. Oh, let's start about jawline filler for men. I presume we're referring to men here.
Yeah.
I'm into it. But it's like, I think people underestimate how expensive it is and how much they need and how frequently it needs to be done as well.
Yeah, it's mills and mills. Like, I mean, 5-6 mills and stuff.
Yeah, like
it's a lot of money.
You see all these like guys on Instagram with kind of, I suppose, I don't say pointy sloped jaws or whatever, and then suddenly you see the afters and they have like these big
it's
square
amazing. No, it is amazing.
It is amazing.
Like, I think traditional masculinity traditional masculine faces
shapes
are
square.
I mean, square jawed.
Yeah.
Think David Gandolfini, is that how you pronounce it?
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But like the big square jaw. Brad Pitt, the square jaw.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing about Irish jaws is that,
well, it's not just ours in general, like, yeah, man, it's just a masculinization. But I mean, it's no different to us putting filler in our cheekbones and our lips, because that makes us more feminine in theory, you know.
Facial balancing.
Facial balancing.
Like, beautification for women is actually about, you know, making things softer and more balanced. And it's kind of the same for men. It's actually about making them
more
pointy.
Yes.
More pointy and balanced.
Yeah.
And
but it takes a lot of filler. Like, I mean, you're talking 5 or 6 mils to get like that Zac Efron kind of look. And
by the way, Zac Efron has had a load of filler as well.
Or he's had something done. He looks weird.
No, I think he looks hot.
Yeah, so I'm all on for it, but you need to, A, the person who's doing it needs to know what they're doing. First of all, like, please don't be going to a beautician for this. This needs to be
definitely
a doctor who is very skilled and has a good aesthetic eye as well.
And also understands the different types of filler.
Because
the type of filler that's used in the jaw is entirely different to the kind of filler that is used in your lips or in your teeth or
anywhere
or anything. So it's a really heavily calcified filler. And basically, once it's injected in, it hardens. But they call it the teeth.
Yeah.
So it's like having teeth in your face. It's hard as nails. And
it never, even though they say it reabsorbs into your system, doesn't really.
We've seen
on MRI,
facial
MRIs
where there's filler still in people's faces 10 years later. So, I mean, this whole adage of, like, you can get it done if you don't like it, you can just dissolve it. With that type of filler, it's more complicated to dissolve it fully in its entirety. However, it is amazing. If you've got a particularly weak jaw or an asymmetry or, you know, a small chin, it can be really, really transformative.
Balance your face. Yeah, but you're talking a couple of mils, which is expensive.
Yeah.
You need a good person and you'll probably get addicted to it.
And you're going to
you're gonna need to do it maybe once a year if you're really into it. But it can be quite transformative in the right hands and on the right face.
So yes, I am thumbs up on the male filler. As for the male Botox, I think there are, I'm going to say, less than a handful of doctors in this country
who can even do it,
who do good Botox.
Yeah.
Because again, it's about masculization as opposed to beautification, which most doctors are trained in the beautification process.
All of my gay friends get Botox. My
all
male gay
yeah.
friends,
yeah,
and they're mad for it.
Yeah.
And they don't look particularly like waxy or anything like that. So I think, again, it can be done right. But it's funny, they're like absolutely obsessed with like having no lines. And I'm like, it's not really about having no lines.
No.
It's about, and ironically, it could be about sharpening up their jaw or slimming their nose or doing something else. But I think the men are still where we might have been 15 years ago, go, get rid of the lines, get rid of the lines. And you're like, who cares about the lines?
Changing a bit, though, weren't
they? A little bit, yeah. But I know
the droopy lids, good for the droopy lids. And
and the lips and so forth. So I think I'm all for Botox if it's, again, right hands, right person, who doesn't want to make you look like, I mean, you've got some weird freaking Spock eyebrows. Yeah, exactly. So absolutely go for it. And that is the end of our Loose Lips section. If you have any questions or confessions or things you want to chat about, please drop us a voice memo, a DM or a message. Our WhatsApp number is on the show notes here, and it's also on our LinkedIn bio on our Instagram, A Future Beauty Show. So please stay in touch. And of course, a special thanks to Fifth Avenue Clinic, our sponsor, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
And don't forget to tune in next week. We have more interesting guests, more loose lips and celebrity profiles. See you next week.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud.
Sounds better with us.